I'm Dr. Stephanie Munt.
And I'm Dr. Ellie Summers.
And this is Two Women Running Their Mouths, a podcast for women who run by women who run. Our 80-20 rule, 80% dishing, 20% running. All right. Welcome back to Two Women Running Their Mouths. A podcast. I was like, did we already
Steph always stutters just a little bit over the intro. It's adorable.
Every time my brain is like, you're going to say it wrong. Nope, that's wrong too. That's wrong.
Yeah, a podcast for women who run, by women who run.
That's it. You nailed
that's
it.
That's it.
You can take it.
Nailed it. Yeah. Today we have, I think, a very relatable topic to chat about. What are we talking about today, Steph?
Today we're talking about dealing with the ups and downs of training, learning to enjoy the process and starting to understand that running is a sport that takes time to get better at and to get good at. And if you're you know, trying to PR the next month, that's going to be difficult. It puts you, you're definitely at higher risk for burnout, injury, that kind of thing. So we're going to talk about the mental aspects of settling in for the long haul and dealing with ups and downs along the way.
Yes. I think that as a sport, this is part of the reason why people love it, which is kind of funny. But also part of the reason why it's so tough, because we get so emotionally invested in our goals, short-term specifically, short-term being like your next race goal, a time goal or whatever, trying to set a PR. And racing doesn't come around that often. And last year we had none, we had no racing. And so this year we have maybe some races popping up, but now we haven't had a lot of practice. We're dealing with chronic stress and, you know, kind of have those same targets in mind. And I think being emotionally invested in it and then potentially not hitting the mark can be devastating for people. And it's just a part of the process, which I know is tiring to hear that over and over again. Trust the process.
In that voice.
Okay.
The process.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's just true.
It's true. You know, look at any other sport. It makes sense to trust the process, right? Any other sport, it's like, oh, obviously being good at soccer doesn't happen in a year. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes practice. And I think people maybe mistakenly believe that being good at running is formulaic, mm-hmm. right? It just takes the right program, the right intensity, the right speeds or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that is not necessarily the case.
No, absolutely not. There's no recipe.
Yeah.
If you had the same schedule as a professional runner and followed the exact same training plan, you know, as many of them do, right? The outcomes are going to be very different, very individual. And to your point too, about soccer, basketball, really any other ball sport, I think we think of those as more skill-based, you know, it's going to take time, practice, repeating the skills. And I think we think of running less in as a skilled sport and more of just, like you said, more running, you're going to do better, faster running, you're going to run faster. And it's just not that simple.
Yeah, we really got to switch to believing that it is a skills-based sport. Because I think what that does too, and maybe I'm mistaken about this because I'm speaking also from my own experience as an athlete and also as a coach, I think it really helps quell emotional attachment to a specific goal being like the only way to improve as an athlete. Is if you can really conceptualize that these are skills that you're practicing day in and day out. And it takes practice over and over and over again to get good at something. And you're going to have races or quote unquote games where you'll lose And I think in the sport of running, it's just as devastating as it is in any other sport. And I think a big important variable that's good for runners to try and capture is, well, what can I learn from that experience? Mm-hmm. Instead of what's wrong with me?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Which, gosh, like life too, right? Yeah. Because there are so many things that are out of our control. You know, just on certain days you show up for a race, you might feel completely prepared and you've done everything you possibly can and things just don't click that day. And on the flip side, you might show up feeling like crap. I've had races where I come and I have, you know, I'm sore from a couple of days earlier, or my legs just aren't feeling good. And then you pull out a great race. So it's definitely comes back to, well, I mean, to look at why you're doing it. You know, if you're enjoying the process and thinking of this as a long-term game where, yeah, at times are meaningful because we give them meaning, but ultimately, what can you learn each time you go out there? What can you learn from each race? And there is nothing wrong with you, whether you run well in your mind or you don't.
Yes. Yes. This makes me think of, so last week I was working with a swimmer and she was really caught up in the quantitative variables of her swimming performance. Really feeling the pressure. And this is a high school aged swimmer, but really feeling that pressure. And so I encouraged her to consider something else in her performance that could motivate her to try to be better at something, but maybe not that quantitative piece. And it turns out it was like a qualitative piece, you know, getting off the blocks in a particular way for her was the piece. And the next day she raced and like PR'd and everything. And I think, you know, I like to take a lot of credit. Oh yeah, I coached that. But I really do think that that pressure of trying to perform on the quantitative variables consistently day in and day out is exhausting. Mm-hmm. Have you had that experience where you feel a lot of pressure on the quantitative variables being time, right? Mm-hmm. Running at a particular pace, particular heart rate, even, all of that.
Yeah. Even today I'll get frustrated if my heart rate is, or I'm trying to stay in the aerobic zone and my pace is slower than a week before.
Same.
And then at the moment I'm frustrated. And then an hour later, I completely forget about it. And so it's just very strange how that attachment to the number has such a profound impact right at that moment, even knowing like this really isn't going to matter to me in an hour when everything else in life is going to come into my brain. So yes, 100%. And I think switching to something qualitative or an outside focus, or how can I improve my skill in this area, which I think is a little bit more challenging in our sport because there aren't, unless you're a sprinter, you know, you're not going to talk about coming out of the blocks a little bit differently, but you think about, okay, can I run this race a little bit smarter and have some energy and have a better last 5K or something like that? Yeah. Things that are, you know, maybe not, it still might be quantitative, but you're focused less on a number and more on how you feel
towards
or competing with someone or something like that.
Yeah. I really think that the how you feel component is a really important piece to like harness and pay attention to with regards to running. And I mean, we've talked about perceived exertion before. I think we've talked about that on this podcast, maybe. We talked about heart rate. I think the how you feel piece is really critical because it alerts you to positives and negatives in a timely fashion. But then the other piece to the how you feel is how do you respond to how you feel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what's your emotional response? What's your like practical response? Mm-hmm. What's the change that you're going to make? Or what does that mean for you? All of that stuff I think is so it's really invaluable to pay attention to, and can, again, sort of remove some of the pressure and stress of those quantitative targets and goals, and potentially open doors for your progress.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And we know that mindset and attitudes and beliefs and thoughts can profoundly impact, you know, how we experience the world. And that includes how we experience our runs, our races, the outcomes and results of those. So even that made me think of mid-race. How are you interpreting, or are you creating meaning out of how you feel, how hard you're breathing, how painful it is, what time you're racing, and how would that be different? You know, sometimes you're feeling great and then you look at your watch and immediately you feel like crap because you're like, well, I thought I was running faster than this. And if you hadn't seen the time, you would still be feeling.
Yes.
So.
The good old data can just rip us of joy sometimes.
It really can.
And it's there all the time. You know, and as a coach, it's an important, like, sports science. The data is really valuable as a coach because it can help guide a direction to keep someone going long-term, to be making aerobic changes, but it also, it is also just a beast sometimes because of those things. You know, like I attach meaning to what my heart rate is, to what my pace is, to how far I get in a particular time. You know, some days I'm like, whatever, it's not a big deal. And then there are days where I'm like, everything feels off and everything feels wrong. And it's like this, you know, my heart rate is high, my pace is not where I want it to be, and I'm just grumpy.
Yeah. And then we, you know, see this in our runners too, because we think that we know better, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like you said earlier, you can't really control that, right? We probably are still going to have those thoughts, but immediately recognizing and trying to detach from that and thinking about how silly it really is. Like, we can laugh about it right now.
Yeah. I'll be on a run tomorrow and be like, oh, crying.
During the run, different story. After,
yes,
we laugh about it every day, over and over.
Yeah.
But it just seems so much more simple, right? When we're telling our that too. And we, you know, we understand that it's reality, that data, it's like niche and niche. I never know what to say. Data.
It's both.
Numbers. We understand the reality of the impact there. And I think discussing it like this does decrease the significance of it. We make everything so significant.
We do.
So if you're listening to this, make it less significant. It's not.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that can help with those ups and downs, not just your everyday runs of whatever pace you're going at, whatever heart rate is being less significant, but it's great to have goals and you should always be proud of, you know, a PR or a better effort or a higher effort. But in the end, the numbers are really insignificant.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be great if I could really embody that every time.
Yeah. I say it. Do I fully believe it?
Yeah. To be fair though, I'm going to give myself a little props here. A couple years ago when I was embarking on the understanding the physiology of endurance specifically more thoroughly, and the concepts behind heart rate training more thoroughly, I embarked on a journey to be able to run for a certain amount of time, zone 2 or below. And that took me probably about a year and a half to truly get there and to not, well, to, I'm not going to say not be attached to the pace as much, but to really be able to look at that as a win, no matter what pace I was at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how cool. I was finally able to run, you know, for a period of time, zone one and zone two, super slow and relaxed. And that got me running more. And there were all these other sort of, I'm going to say quantitative, but also sort of qualitative variables that improved my engagement. And I think that's what switching some of the mindset can do, switching perspective, like really aiming for that longevity in the sport, because, you know, an injured athlete is halted in their progress immediately. You know, we need to be healthy.
Consistency is the main thing that's going to get you faster. When we have those breaks from injury, that just, you know, it's not, you're not starting over, but it definitely does hinder progress over time.
Right. Right. Have you ever had to DNS or DNF a race?
DNS. Yes. I have a lot of t-shirts for races that I never ran. Yes. And it seemed to consistently be that like I'd be feeling great, be running really well. And then about 1 or 2 weeks before the race, I'd start to feel flatter. I wasn't hitting my workouts, and then something would crop up. And either some of those races were not, they were not all injury, but some of them it was that I knew that it wasn't going to run as fast as I was capable of 2 weeks prior. And so I just didn't start.
Oh, interesting.
And DNF was that's happened once in a road race for me. I just came out way too fast and didn't want to go the rest of the way. So
do you feel like you learned something from each of those experiences?
Finally, after the
maybe
the,
now.
Do not starts, finally. But it did initially, it got to the point where I just stopped signing up for races until about a week before. But yes, I think now, like looking back, I was always running too fast. I was always in zone three, even zone four on my easy runs. And not to get too off topic here, but I also wanted to come back to the how you know accomplishing that goal in zone one and two has changed a lot of variables surrounding running. And I used to wake up with a pit in my stomach, knowing that I was going to have to run and it was going to hurt.
Oh, wow.
Like PTSD from training before. And now it's like, oh, I get to run slow. It's going to be enjoyable. And I actually, one of my athletes recently said the same thing. She's like, I used to delay, procrastinate my run because I knew it was just going to be painful. And now I leave earlier because I know that I can run slower and it's enjoyable.
Yeah. It's reframing particular narratives around running, you know, again, that are attached to these like quantitative measurements that mean that every time we run, we're essentially failing in some way.
Yeah.
And I think that it's really important because failure is inevitable, right? To use failure as, this is going to sound so cheesy, as an opportunity in some way. And you may not be able to see that right away or even close to right away. It may take several years before you're able to see that those were opportunities. Mm-hmm. But I do think that there's teaching moments and all of that. And if you can be a student of the sport and really approach it as like skill-based, I'm going out to practice, like really frame each session that you're going to do as like, I'm going to practice today. Mm-hmm. That's the way I mean, maybe that's just the way I think of it. Cause that's what I, you know, identify like my younger self when I was really working at something. It's like, I'm going to practice. Mm-hmm. And the expectations of the day were, let's get better in some way, maybe today we're practicing, you know, passing in running. It's maybe today we're practicing easy running. Maybe today we're practicing walking the hills and not having it mean that you're a bad or slow runner.
100%.
That's like
practice that a little bit more.
Yeah, you need to practice. Are there hills in Arizona?
No, there are mountains. I generally stay away from those right now.
Yeah.
But I think we could all use that. Not making walking mean that you're not a runner.
Yeah. Using every day as a chance to learn something about yourself, about the process. And to be fair, occasionally turning your damn brain off and just going on the run. I think racing is at its finest when you don't have to think anymore.
Yeah.
Certainly there's strategy involved. Never forget that there's strategy, but the ideal state would be you're not thinking, you're just doing, and having fun in the process. But knowing that you might have the potential to fall.
Yeah. I mean, performance comes with failure, right?
Yes.
You can't perform without having some failure, and being out there, like, you basically, when you're taking action, when you are performing, whether that's practice or racing, you're putting yourself at stake. You're risking failure each time. And, you know, I think failure in the dictionary is just like, it's a terrifying definition. We're all scared of failure, right? I think the definition is, I should have pulled this up, but I think it's something like not having the intended outcome. Super terrifying. That we're terrible people, right? We do something that does not have the intended outcome. So with that, you know, what do you talk to your runners about when they feel they've had a failure in a race or they feel they've underperformed? Like, what are your recommendations for runners out there who do have a race like that or a workout like that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be different for everyone, but I think to a certain extent, you kind of have to like sit in it a little bit. I would love as a coach to be able to pull people out of that like pit, you know, like that pit in your stomach, that sadness, that disappointment. But I think it takes different amount of time for every individual to really fully come to terms with it. But I also think potentially setting up the right expectations ahead of time, any way we can do that to have someone be prepared for any scenario and adapt to what happens on a given day, is a little bit better of a setup than being completely blindsided by what happened. You know, athletes fail. And I think as a coach, that sometimes feels, I mean, we feel it all too. Like, I don't know. It's been a long time since we've raced, you know, but we feel it all as well right there with our athletes, because we want nothing more than success every single time, of course. But yeah, I think it's just about letting people feel their feels and then really having a conversation together and deciding what's important, getting back to the why, and, you know, sort of pulling your vision from looking at the past to looking at what's right in front of you. What can we do today? You know, does the goal still stand? Are you still interested in that? How do we set the stage for that for next year, for the next 2 years, for the next 3 years, and so on? I think it's really valuable to have like I'm going to say a big goal, like, you know, some people it's like Boston qualifying or whatever. Some people it's just like maintain consistency. But something that motivates you day in and day out that almost feels intangible in a way that is like, oh, I might be able to get there in 5 years, maybe 10 years from now. Who knows what's possible, to keep you kind of grounded on that, knowing that like when you can zoom out and see this one little blip of a race that wasn't successful doesn't define your potential.
Definitely. Yeah. Same thing with workouts, right? They're all just building blocks.
Yeah.
Towards that.
Yeah. On that note,
I would agree with everything you said.
Go kick ass.
Yes. That's all we have for today.
That's all we have for today.
That one.
Yeah.
So, anyone racing soon? Racing. Good luck. Have fun.
Yeah. Fall racing.
Mm-hmm. And are we taking new clients, new coaching athletes?
Yeah, I think we have space for a few more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you're looking for a coach, we're available for some one-on-one coaching. Yeah, we try to keep it a tight team, but we've got just a couple of spaces open. So give us a shout.
Yep. All right. We will see you next time.
Later.